2002 Salt Lake Sunstone Symposium presents session number 211, a Sunstone Town Meeting, a panel discussion on the future of Sunstone, moderated.
Town meeting concept where we give Sunstone constituency a chance to come and hear those of us who have some responsibilities tell you what we're trying to do, and then we want to open a big part of the meeting up to give you an opportunity to tell you what we think is wrong or right with Sunstone, and then you ask questions of us about how we're doing with our stewardship. Let me start by introducing the members of our board that are here, and then the staff. We let me go down. We have Earl Wunderly over here, and Bill Bradshaw, who's a new member of the board this past year. We have Kim McCall, who's also a new member of the board. Bonner Ritchie, Mike Stevens, Jordan Kimball. We have up in front, Jeff Burton. Up in front, Charlotte England is a new member of the board since last year. I'm sure will wander in. We have Mary Ellen Robertson, who was new from the board last year. I'm Toby Pingree. Two others. Mark Thomas is out of town, out of the country. He's back east for his job down at BYU. And then Julie Curtis, who's been a board member for quite a while, was on her way here with her husband, and he came down, became violently ill on the trip, and so she's not going to be here at all. On the board, we have 12 members. We have three women. We're having some gender diversity on the board, and we're glad for that. We also have some geographic. We have three of them from California, sort of the area that Sam Brannon said the Saints ought to go, and three of them are from there. We have one from Missouri, which is where the Lord says we're going to end up, and Mike is back there sort of preparing for when we need to go back there. we try to get representation, and we'll continue to try and expand that. And age-wise, we're getting some younger people on the board, too. I think there's been quite a bit of concern about the aging of Sunstone. As you look up and see me up here and see Earl and some rest of us been around, and it's Bonner, why we are anxious to try and get younger people involved to carry the torch. I think our commitment is the same as I understand it's always been at Sunstone, and that's to provide various forums for the respectful, open discussion of Mormonism and Mormon issues, and we hope that certainly the symposium this year represents that, as the magazine, the five issues we published in the last year do the same thing. We'll now hear from our staff, the people who really make Sunstone run and make things happen. First of all, let me introduce them. Dan Witherspoon is our editor and our executive director and editor, I guess those are your two titles, and he's sort of the head honcho over there and has been very heavily involved in the symposium. William Sanford, William is our publisher and also our business manager, you'll feel a little better about how we are financially once William's been able to say something about what he does. Carol is associate editor in the Mercantile. Is Carol here? Is she downstairs?
She's down at the registration table.
Are you all? I mean, Carol is sort of the glue that has held it together. She's sort of the collective memory. She's been around a long time. When we want to know what's gone on or what's going on, Carol's the one who we always turn to get information from. And then finally, the new member of our staff who was a victim of a purge because of a Deseret Book because of the flap up at Utah State, John Hatch, who is the managing editor and also he's one who was had primary responsibility for organizing the symposium this year too. And so, whether good or bad about it, why hack on John? Anyway, let's hear from them. They'll tell us what they've done this year, what's been going on, and then we'll open it up for comments from the group. So, Dan.
I'd just like to start by thanking everyone who's here and just everyone who might hear on tape and just to express my appreciation for the wonderful job I have. It's certainly a very challenging job, but it's great. I get to have wonderful conversations every day. I get to meet wonderful people. It's an exhausting job, but it's just a real pleasure to find something that is such a good match and something that I'm committed to, and it's easy to go to work every day. I have never not wanted to show up that morning. So I appreciate that. I appreciate our board. There are just 12 wonderful people. Everybody brings something important to the mix, and I think it's a very healthy group. All of us with a forward-looking vision to really ensure the long-term health of Sunstone. As we know, Sunstone started 27 years ago. Young enthusiasm. Scott Kenny, our founder, is here today. Idealistic vision in many ways. The church can stand up to scrutiny. Free expression and free exchange of ideas will always be healthy for both those who participate in those discussions, and in the long term, healthy for the church. That was a 1960s sort of project, even though it was in the 1974 that it began. The realities started hitting, especially 10 years ago or a dozen years or so ago. And it's a very difficult time. And we've had a difficult time bringing younger people into that mix. And so we're working very hard on that. We made some strides the last few years to hear from the younger generation, and we're continuing to do that. One of the things I'm planning starting the next issue is to spotlight young Mormon graduate students, the work that they're doing, introduce them to the wider audience, hopefully help encourage them to become long-term core people the way that Armin Moss, Gene England, Levi Peterson, Carl Sandburg had been. And so we're going to work very hard in those areas to do that. My job this morning is just to simply give you a report. We hope there's some enthusiasm for the things that we've been trying to do. Since last symposium time, there have been, as Toby said, 5 issues of the magazine. I hope you're enjoying most of those. It's been wonderful to bring them together. I felt like my first 2 magazines were real learning ones, and at least by the third one, I had a sense of how to do it. And so it's been getting easier physically. Very appreciative for the good papers and the quality columns that we've been able to do. We've been able to respond to 9/11 in a timely way. We ended up having an Olympic issue within a few months after, or a few weeks after the Olympics came and went to Salt Lake City. We managed to get a Nauvoo-related issue out within weeks of the Nauvoo Temple dedication. And so we're feeling happy and excited that we're trying to work those things. If it's all right with you, I'd like to propose that that's probably about what we can expect, is about 5 issues a year. The way that I've learned that this job is, I think, with the symposium taking up such a chunk of the summer, that I'm going to propose that it'll be probably 3 issues before symposium every year. Oh, this is somebody's travel alarm there. 3 issues probably before symposium every year, and 2 issues after. This year I'm planning to go to press again at the end of September, so it'll be an October issue, and then hopefully again right around Thanksgiving time, so you'd have a early December issue. And so I think 5 issues a year is what we can do. Let me just report a little bit on last year's symposium. It was we felt like a successful one. Like everything, it's a huge event. But just to let you know, symposiums cost about $50,000. To put on. That's everything from the hotels and banquet costs and advertising and printing and things like that. And we generally, by the time all said and done, we break about even. Now, we're happy to report that last year's symposium, right away we knew that we had made about $7,500 on that. And it just lets you know the art auction is largely responsible for that. That's the one real neat thing that we can count on. We don't really factor that into our expectations. So anything that comes through the art auction can be quite significant. If you were to buy a painting there today, roughly, I think in most cases, it varies from the what the artists have asked for versus what the galleries are doing, and they're giving their commissions to us. And so I know that about a third of those art prices will go directly to Sunstone. That's probably the average. So anyway, we think now last year's totals with tape sales and continued benefits, we think it was about a $10,000 bump for us. So we're real pleased with that. This past year we also did have a symposium in Pasadena, California. Mary Ellen Robertson, along with Lee Polson, were our organizers. It was a very well put on event. Details were handled, and it was enthusiastic for everyone who came. It's typical that a California symposium is a break-even sort of thing, and we came pretty close to that this year. Okay, Mary Ellen will talk a little bit more about that. Due to circumstances that were a little bit strange, last year we did not have a Seattle symposium, which is a typical, we call it the Northwest Symposium, and we did not have a D.C. symposium. The events of 9/11 kind of came along at the wrong time when that committee was getting together. One of the major cogs was writing her dissertation, and it felt like a time for a sabbatical year there. But I'll let you know that we do have a Seattle symposium. It's in your program. It's scheduled for October 19th this year. Symposium West will be in San Francisco at the Airport Clarion Hotel, April 18th and 19th next year. And we're talking with the D.C. committee about finding a venue. And once we find the venue, it will be announced when that will be. But I would expect early May for that. I'd like to talk a little bit about this year's symposium, the one that you're in right now. We hope you're enjoying the first day, and now we're here beginning our second day. Just to let you know, among the things that we tried this year that were a little bit different and unusual, and we'd love your feedback during that time, is the idea of putting the preliminary program in with the magazine. And then what we did is we distributed far more issues of that magazine than usual. So it was sort of a way of giving people a chance to read Sunstone, perhaps for the first time, by distributing it free at places like Sam Weller's Books, Benchmark Books, different coffee shops and things around town. And so we hope that will give us a little bump. We had that little "What is Sunstone? How to subscribe?" kind of thing right at the beginning. So I'd love your feedback on whether you thought that was a good thing to do. And then I'd like to report just a little bit on the workshops that we had day before yesterday, at Utah Valley State College. This was a concept that we thought of at least a year ago, but with Albert kind of leaving in January or in June, it just wasn't something that we felt like we had the energy to put together for last year. So we've sort of been working on it, and we lined up just a fantastic faculty of people who offered 8 workshops at Utah Valley State College. And we feel like we learned a lot. But for everyone who was there, we heard nothing but positive feedback. They just had a great experience. And so I think with a different pricing scheme, perhaps a workshop, symposium package, I think lower prices, I think not having it a separate venue from the regular thing, all these things are something. So it's something we're going to try again next year. So I appeal to you right now, or perhaps in Q&A, to suggest presenters that you've enjoyed in the past or who you know offer really interesting workshops, and get some things up to us so that we can start planning for that. And I hope that you, as the committed Sunstone Corps, will think about that and kind of plan that extra half a day than this year. We normally start Wednesday evening. This time we started Wednesday all day. The reason it was at UVSC, I don't know how many of you knew, but Elder Marion D. Hanks spoke that night at a Utah Valley State College-sponsored event. And so with him there and knowing that many of our people would enjoy seeing him, and indeed it turned out to be great, probably about 300 people attended that, and we got to meet him, and he spoke from his heart, and he spoke with such love and compassion for Charlotte and the England family and in Jean's sort of vision and the way he lived his life. It was just really a wonderful evening. There. But that was the reason that we had scheduled them at a different venue. I don't anticipate that we would schedule them in 2 different locations again in the future. We'll turn the time over to William pretty soon, but I hope you saw some progress in the website this year, those of you who have tried us. It was fairly bare bones last year. I think William's kind of been telling me that he thinks about 80% of the features that are planned are now turned on, and certainly they'll get better. And I don't know if he'll talk about it, so I'll just simply put the bug out there right now. Among the things that we need, so for instance, you've probably seen the last few issues have sort of been categorized, and so you can search for articles related to this subject or that. But that's one thing that we'd be happy to have people do at home. We'd be happy to give you 4 or 5 back issues of the magazine for you to go through and categorize them and send it through a an Excel document or something like that to William, and then we'll be able to do that. And so eventually we'd like all the past issues of Sunstone to be categorized so you could search and find at least the information of what the article was. And I'd say 80% of Sunstone PAC issues are available through the office, if nothing else, or at least people could know what they're doing. So we're really pleased with the progress. William is becoming quite good at everything that he's doing there, and so we're really really pleased for the progress there. One of the things that we tried this year was a mid-summer mailing. I meant to bring a copy of the disc. Did most of you receive that Gene England CD that we included along with the appeal? I hope that was successful. We had nothing but good feedback from the people who said how much they enjoyed that. It cost a little bit of money. It was about $1.04 was the raw cost with postage and everything for that. But we had a good response. We made several thousand dollars through that appeal. Partly we sent it to more people than we thought was our most likely people to do it, as a desire to get Gene's final Sunstone talk, which is really a very challenging and quintessential Gene England sort of talk, where everybody was equal opportunity of of being challenged. So we did that, and that certainly hurt perhaps the bottom line, but it was a success, and we think we'd like to do that. And if you have suggestions for great talks that you've heard in Sunstone in the past, or perhaps you'll hear one today that you'd think you'd like to have digitalized and perhaps in a CD mailing like that, I think we're enthusiastic about doing that again. One of the big accomplishments, I wish he just hadn't walked out this year, was we're really very pleased to bring John Hatch on board. It became clear about last October that we as a staff felt like to maintain at least the level of services that people were hoping and haven't been enjoying with Sunstone in the past, and the complexity of the different things that we were doing, that we bring on at least one more staff person. The board was very supportive. John had been a volunteer at Sunstone. He'd been coming in once a week and helping to do some data entry for the website. So we got to know him. We were able to offer him when this thing at Deseret Book. You'll have to talk to him about the story. He's not at all bitter about this, but he had worked at Deseret Book and wrote a letter to the editor that was a little bit challenging about the way the Leonard Arrington affair had been handled in the press, and among sort of the demonizing of Leonard Arrington and the impugning of his integrity. And it showed up on Saturday in the paper, and Monday morning several officers from Deseret Book were there with a notice that he was no longer, he was their assistant manager at the Cottonwood store. So anyways, this is a great young man. We were able to offer him some money or some hours through July or through December, and then the board approved hiring him full-time in January, and we're just so pleased to have him. He is the managing editor, which is sort of the behind-the-scenes, let's get things in, let's help Dan write letters, let's talk to people who have advertised to get them to pay their bills, things like that. He's playing that role for us. He's going to be our main symposium contact for all the regional symposiums, so he'll have energy in those areas, and he's just a wonderful person, and we're grateful to have him. Wanted to remind you that we always have a Sunstone Christmas party. Of course, we've picked 2 years in a row. It's been the snowiest day. That was no exception this past year. But if you're in Utah, usually at the end of November, we have just a wonderful Sunstone Christmas party, and we'd like to continue that tradition. So anyway, I hope you've been pleased with some of the progress this year, and we're grateful, and we're looking forward to your continued impact and support. Thank you. Oh.
I'd like to introduce myself, William Stanford, originally from Texas. I have been associated with Sunstone. This is my third symposium. I was actually, I believe, talked into this job by Eugene England, amongst others, not really understanding what I was getting into, but with my background as a CPA and happen to have an unusual understanding of computers, software, and a desire to learn more about web design, it was an interesting challenge. And I was fortunate enough to be able to work with Elbert for quite a while. And, of course, as a CPA with my mindset of time and motion, I rapidly started trying to put things in order, and worked real hard at building infrastructure, work, understand what I was doing, certainly. Accounting, database, started working on web, and I was moving toward this first symposium, and did a great deal of effort, put a great deal of effort into, right, this is a symposium, but hey, they're going to do it again next year, so let's build a structure so that we'll make it easier next year. And real mechanical about this type of thing, until we moved into that that first symposium day, trying to set everything up, and sitting on the front row in an empty room was this couple. Obviously, St. George, let's say. Sitting there, and I introduced myself, and they were just so excited that it was symposium time. And, you know, how long have you been coming? Oh, we come to all of them. And I realized there's people, there's humans here. That sort of shifted my thinking that this is not just a mechanical job of selling widgets. There's people involved, and I've learned a huge group of people are dedicated to the various projects, the magazine, the symposium, just the fellowship, the understanding and of the subjects. So I sort of had to shift my thinking, and I really enjoyed it since then, that we need to build toward the future. I mean, there's people, I saw some numbers a while ago that have been steady subscribers since the very beginning. That's a long-term readership. How to hang on to that, and how to build, let's say, members for the future. So that's where I'm more committed than I am to the number crunching and the bean counting, which Toby and I are specialists at. Let me talk a little bit about the bean counting. Good news. We've adapted a policy of really an open forum as far as our financial situation. We started this year with a budget, and we know what we want to do each year, and we also know that we need to do different things, expand, grow, but we want to do it under control. In other words, don't outrun your finances. And we try to make everything, as Dan mentioned, the symposium is generally a break-even proposition. If we're going to do a new service or a service, it should at least pay for itself the best way we can, and give quality. And we've been able to increase revenue streams in pretty well every area. We're so far ahead of last year that we're pleased to say that we're opening a special bank account under special board control to begin really and put back in the seed monies for, let's say, what we hope to be an endowment. In other words, we're going to set money aside. And we can't say that next year we may not have to go into it, because things can go wrong. We're at we operate at the will of the generosity of our contributors. We're not a money-making proposition. Contributions account for 50% to 60% of our revenue stream. So very, very important. So our efforts will be pointed in that direction even more so, but we want to maintain our commitments. If we say we're going to do something, we're going to do it. But if we're going to do it, we're going to do it with quality. We mentioned about the web. It's been one of those things where kind of move between fires trying to work on something. So trying to get ready for a magazine, I may be doing manipulating graphics to help John and Dan. We all work together side by side as a team. We may not agree on things, but we work. Once we get pointed in that direction, we get shoulder to shoulder. And at the heart of that team, I want to thank Carol. She is fantastic. And with Carol comes the entire Quist family, of which there are many, and give us a great deal of volunteer effort. Thank you very much. The web will be improving. We do look for new ideas and comments. Please help us out on that. We have to keep that going forward and reach over the horizon out of the valley to our community everywhere. And along that lines, on the web, I decided to put a map of the United States, and if you pass your map over that map, your mouse will pick up the reading of what state, and it shows within our database how many people we have in each of the states. Now, that's not accurate up to that day. It's, you know, a snapshot in time, and it's really people who participated in Sunstone are subscribers or contributors. And there's only two states we do not have members. So if you know anybody in North Dakota and I can't remember the second one is. So that type of thing, and we'd be interested in maybe trying to develop an online community. The in back to finances, we have put on the web not only the financial information that becomes public knowledge, because we do submit a tax report, you might say a tax report to the Internal Revenue Service each year called a Form 990. In that, we have a balance sheet and profit and loss statements going back 5 years. I put that on the web. In addition, we put our budget on the web. You know, this is what our plan is. So you at least get to see where the money is supposed to go and then where it went. So we're debt-free. We have, at the moment, at least $50,000 in the bank, and that's a remarkable thing. And that's everybody in this audience and out there in the symposium's efforts. We appreciate that. So our services can continue in the future. We're also undertaking a more systematic approach to trying to seek planned donations to Sunstone, that people can actually, going back to my CPA experience, do some tax planning. And we're not here giving tax advice, but we know, and everyone hears, that there's advantages to like giving appreciated securities. You get a large donation without having to recognize the gain in your tax return. Instead, you get the full fair market value donation, that type of thing. And we're going to be setting up a table right after this, in which one of the board members have graciously donated their time to answer questions. And I'll hold this up to the microphone so the audience can see it. I don't expect to be able to read it, but the point is there's a lot of ways that you can donate money to your benefit and for Sunstone's benefit. And we'll have a handout for each of these things. And this is actually on the web right now. So I just made copies off web pages. That's fine. Thank you. That's it. So the point I'm continuing to make here is we're looking to the future with good accounting, budgeting, the board. This board asks questions. They make us explain things, and I'm proud to say that Dan asks hard questions. He wants to know what's in that budget line by line and keeps an eye on where the dollars go. So may I bring Carol up here? Oh, question. Right. There are several good questions in that. Let me try to answer them. First question, are there any anonymous donors? Well, I would say if that means the people don't really want their names out there, yes. We have a number of people that do not want their names used. The second question about financing, putting financial information on the web, no, there will not be names on the web without any permission. And we're not asking for that right now. We would love to have anybody give us, let's say, a testament, an expression of why they're involved. And I would like to put a collection of that, not dollars by individuals. $5 donation is very important to us. $5,000 is very important to us. So everybody's the same there.
And there's not a whole lot of detail about the budget there. It's generally, this is our subscription revenue, this was our expenses this year, this is how much we raised. This next year, expected income, we'll need to raise an additional $47,000. Those are the kind of information, so it's really, it's not like, you know, here's how much for rent was paid.
And I have my computer with the web on it. If anybody has any questions, I'd be glad to show it to them afterwards. And that's full disclosure is what I'm saying we're talking about. So, Carol? Carol Quist.
He said that $5 is important to us. And what it shows is devotion and commitment. If you renew your subscription and you add $4 to even it off to something, or $15 or whatever it is, it shows that you believe in the forum. And so that's what's important. Now, on these workshops, it was mentioned a testament. I can envision putting a page in the magazine with some snapshots that we took at the workshops and people saying, what a great experience it was to sit 3 hours with somebody and get into in-depth things instead of hurrying off to the next session. And I think that's one of the things that was envisioned for the workshops, is the extended encounter in a professional setting. Let me just mention, money has been mentioned, but let me just mention the time and effort that has been given by certain people and that I will hope will continue to be given. I'm not going to give names, but for example, somebody who will take all of our renewal materials, stuff envelopes, put the stamps on, put the return envelope inside, and go home and enlist the kids to help mail all of that stuff. This relieves the office in a great effort. Somebody who came to me and said, I can help you in any way at the symposium, I said, show up at 8 o'clock on Thursday morning and sit at registration. And I can give you a name, and I'm not going to do it because I want him to do it other years too and not be embarrassed. This is totally correct. Come to the registration. We need somebody in the art room. So I want to compliment you and your friends, people who aren't here, for just coming and putting your body somewhere where these things are needed. It's very gratifying to me to see, and I handle most of the mail, comments, wonderful job. Keep it up. Write a letter to the editor. He does not get enough editorial response, I don't think. Everybody that calls in and tells me what a great job the man, what a great issue something was, what a great article, I say, write a letter to the editor. Somebody says that to you, ask them to write a letter to the editor. Not just for the editor's sake, but that's important. But who else's sake? The rest of Sunstone's people when it gets done. William mentioned that we shoulder up and try to work together. I think this is really true. We have some fantastic people helping to keep regenerating Sunstone. And I appreciate these people that I work with very much. We have needed this for many years. I can tell you this because I have been there many years. I'm going back down to registration. That's where I need to be. And so anybody wants to ask me anything, I will also compliment the board on their devotion. That is our perennial volunteer, Steve Mayfield, completely devoted.
Carol's a goddess. I co-chaired the Sunstone West Symposium this spring in Los Angeles along with Lee Polson, and when we were in the planning stages, it was suggested that Carol might not come to the symposium with the rest of the staff, and we rioted and said, no, she has to be there because she's such a wealth of information and so helpful with all the work that she does behind the scenes. And it was the experience of co-chairing a regional symposium that gave me just a great deal of appreciation and awe for all the work that goes into putting one of these together. And there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that, you know, ideally is transparent to the people who come and support these events. But, you know, I do want to thank everybody for the work they put into this event. You know, we had, you know, a Saturday full of events and a Friday night plenary and a Saturday night plenary. And, you know, to multiply that by 3 or 4 more days, I'm sure there was a lot of Excedrin consumed before that. So it was a great experience to co-chair a regional symposium, and I would recommend that to anyone who's interested in helping at a regional level in some of the areas that we've traditionally had these events outside of Salt Lake. Our focus, since we were fairly close to Hollywood and the entertainment world, we did a number of sessions on Mormons working in the entertainment industry and had some film screen there, and that was a really great experience to touch on an area that perhaps we're all familiar with in the sense that we're all entertainment consumers to one degree or another, but to see and hear about the experiences of Mormons who work in that industry was really fascinating. We also had Mark Scheer, who was the RLDS Community of Christ historian, come and speak at our luncheon session on the significance of Nauvoo in the RLDS tradition, which was a nice precursor to the temple dedication there a little bit later this year. So if anyone's interested in finding out more about how to host a regional event, I'm in the process of creating a document that describes how to host a regional symposium and all the efforts that go into that. We do have, especially in the California symposium, we do have a lot of overlap with the people who attend Salt Lake, but we're always looking to add new faces to our volunteers, to our attendees, and we welcome anyone who wants to get involved on more of a grassroots in your area sort of level. And, you know, I'm thinking that the map that William talked about might be a good way to ferret out new places for us to hold regional events also, because not everyone can always get to Salt Lake, and it would be nice to branch out a little bit in that area. So it was really rewarding to do that. And it was nice because I got to draft a lot of my friends to help with the process. We ended up having about a 15-member planning committee, and that really helped spread the work around, and we're always looking for people to help out with that. So the next regional event is in the Bay Area, April 18th and 19th of 2003. So if you are interested and know anyone in that area, you can rat out to us so we can get them to help. That would be great. So I just wanted to say a few words about that. Thank you.
Well, that's our formal presentation part of this. We now would like to entertain any comments or questions you might have about what we said, what we haven't said. Yes. Uh-huh.
Do you want to repeat my question?
Okay. You're asking the people attending this year compared to last year. Dan?
Pre-registration was about 330 people, which is about 75 better than last year. And I think we're anticipating probably 800 to 1,000 people will come through. The banquet has sold out. which has never been heard of before. You know, usually we come to the symposium with 70 people having signed up and then sell the other 30 or so that we guarantee. We have a limit of 148, and those were gone earlier in the week. I think you know, all signs are good for a very successful symposium attendance-wise.
Yes. Mary Ellen, how many did you have? Okay, yes. We're wondering about the attendance at regional symposium.
The symposium in the Sunstone Symposium West alternates between Northern and Southern California, and we typically have around 200 people attend at either one of those regions. So our attendance was down a little bit in L.A. I'm not sure how much that had to do with people not necessarily wanting to fly in. But we did have a lot of universally positive feedback on the program that we put out, and everybody seemed to have a really good time. And we had a lot of new faces, a lot of people who were presenting at Sunstone for the first time, a lot of people who were attending Sunstone for the first time. So that was a really gratifying thing to have happen. Washington.
Just typically, Washington's a group of about 100 that usually come, and Seattle's a little bit smaller, usually 60 to 80 people that are kind of a core group. So they're very small. So if you feel like you're in an area of the country that could, you know, if you cast the net wide enough, bring 50 to 100 people in, we would love to take Sunstone on the road. And, you know, get some of the hot books and, you know, a couple of really good speakers is the main way to do it, you know, whatever's hot in the air. I think it's well worth it to fly them there, and you can have a very successful symposium with just those anchors.
Yes. You couldn't find the website?
I found the website, but once I got on here, I couldn't
find the chat. William, defend yourself.
the question was, is there a place on our website where someone could post, let's say, a need for a roommate or a desire for a roommate? We did not do that this year. Our first attempt was, I did set up what amounts to a bulletin board in connection with looking for rides to Orem. And I guess the problem there is, how do you advertise it so people can find it? I think we have to be consistent and make that type of area real clear where we can have communication. I do have already set up a chat room, but with a chat room requires someone to attend it. In other words, someone has to be watching the chat room and communicate. The bulletin board idea is you just go and post your needs there, and other people passing by, hopefully checking on a regular basis, will respond. So it's not us. Have another question? The question was, what is our address on the web? It's sunstoneonline.com. The strange thing about Sunstone is the sunstone.com is owned by this hotel.
Welcome to the website.
the question was about the high degree of expressed it as Flash on our website. Actually, it's JavaScript that's doing that, and JavaScript does take resources in downloading, but any graphics do. We need to get feedback on how people are finding this. I'm glad to hear that comment. We look at it on a daily basis with a pretty good DSL line hookup and don't have problems. But if you look at it with a modem and in a different circumstances, our site may be giving people problems. So please forward comments, and we're just trying to grow with it. Maybe we should start with, we got the gray button and the X button.
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that comment about gray. I would, my suggestion would get feedback. And it's going to take time for the client.
Comment from the audience was get feedback, and that reinforces our desire for the need for feedback, and have tried to place places you can put comments all over the place, and that's some of the busyness of our system. There's too much there. I think we're going through the stages of development of we put things there. If nobody says anything, we don't know the difference. We're just guessing at usage, so please let us know.
Off the web, or?
Well, no. Okay. I'd just like to congratulate Sunstone directors and staff for making this information available to us in terms of finances and goals and numbers and so forth that I don't think they ever have before. And I, for one, feel just thrilled that the folks feel that they can trust us enough with the information. Feel more welcome that we're part of it rather than just one set of people up there and then the rest of us who get whatever they expect. I have another question in that line. Last year we had a session on this, and I would like to know what the general suggestions were made up.
Okay.
Mike?
There was one suggestion made along the lines of developing more of a core group of Sunstone participants, members, and we're working on that. Mike, I don't know if you would like to come up, and Mike Stevens has been sort of carrying the ball on that.
Well, there were a number of suggestions that were raised last year. I can comment on one of them that I've been kind of trying to carry the ball on, and that is the creation of a more structured dialogue and interaction between the board and a more identifiable cohort group of what we'd call the Sunstone community. And we've been developing strategies throughout the year. A number of things have been put forward, and right now we are at the first stage of identifying who would be in that community, and my suspicion is that many, if not all of you in this room, should be getting phone calls within the next 2 or 3 months to solicit your ideas, thoughts, and input on exactly who Sunstone is, what's the community, is there a community, how do we identify ourselves, what ought to be the role or the expectations of the broader community, and how we can carry the mission forward. So we're very much interested in having this dialogue and discussion and want to do it in a way that captures a broader cross-section and not just surreptitiously ends up being influenced by one or two more voices that tend to be more vocal and not capture the kind of broad cross-section that our community might involve. So that's where we are with that.
Go ahead. Uh-huh.
I'm from Los Angeles.
I don't think we're a Deseret Book, but we are down at BYU Bookstore. We're sort of halfway in the mainstream here.
Yeah.
Don? Mm-hmm.
I'm Don Sandberg, and my husband and I've been with Sunstone probably since the beginning, and I've seen it grow, and I've loved what it's done for us and for the people that it served, and I'm thrilled. I sense, and I missed the meeting, it was unavoidable, but I like the direction that I sense it's taking to be part of the larger Mormon community. I grew up in a small town in Taylorsville. I was related to everyone in town. My dad was bishop. I was abused as a child in that setting, and I didn't know it for years. But I've had to struggle through that abuse. It's affected my family. But it also taught me how to love. And that love is inclusive, and that more can be gained through love than argument or debate or one-upsmanship, any of the things that we get trapped in as people. And I'm offering my support to Toby, to Dan, in whatever way, because I see little communities growing and forming. There's such a need out in the hinterlands. And Virginia Slipka, 7 years ago, when we first started going to St. George, called us. She got an address list of the people who took Sunstone, who subscribed, and got us together. And there are a few of us who've hung in there. And we've become close friends, and we've added a few people here and there. When we find a few lost souls, we'll add them. And now Stan and Violet of Kimball have joined us down there. But we've accepted anyone who could put up with us, and we've... Whenever Todd Compton comes through town, we grab hold of him. But we're growing. But those of us that are in there are trying to accentuate the positive. There's lots of anger among people who have been hurt. And there's lots of pain, and there's lots of silence because people can't talk about it. And we're beginning to talk about it in some of the sessions I went to yesterday. We're talking about the sexual abuse. Mine occurred in that bigger polygamous family, that larger cousins. I had 53 first cousins. Good night. What are you going to do with 53 cousins when you turn them loose? But I also got love there, and as I've grown up, it's the love I've hung on to. The love that I've learned how to give to everyone else. And I'm a little late this morning because Barnard Silver and I were having a session together where we were sharing some love and comfort for each other. So this whole church, I told Marty, this whole church is my family. And as I've had to go through therapy, I've had to take the church with me. But I didn't want to end up hating my mother, who died when I was 15. And I didn't want to blame the church, because they didn't know. And they don't, and they still don't. But when the time comes, gosh, when I go in for a temple recommend, the bishop asks me if I'm worthy. Let's see, what is it? What's one of the questions? And anyway, what the answer I always give is, well, I'm related to everyone in the church. Says, yeah, you support the prophet as a prophet. And I said, and the general authorities, and I said, well, sure, but they're people, you know, too. He says, and I know all the family secrets. Can I still have a recommend? Because some of that abuse took place. My cousins were some of those people who abused me, and their in-laws are highly placed in the church. So, Toby.
Thanks, Don. Well, it's time to end the session. Let me just finish with one comment. I'm regularly asked by people who see me in the roles that I've had in the church in the past and other things, you know, how does Sunstone get along with the church? Where are we on that? And to underline that, you know, what are you doing in there? I've been a bishop three times and a mission president, you know, and that sort of stuff. I've had a lot of people, a lot of comments saying, you know, you're too much in the pocket of the church. You know, it's just another extension of the ensign. And I hear people on the other side saying, why are you so critical of the church? Why aren't you more friendly to the church and to what the church's mission is? And when I hear sort of enough of those on both sides, I figure we're probably, you know, generally in the right area where we want to be. I've had occasion to meet with three different general authorities over the past year or two at my request, but not to ask for their permission or their consent or anything we're doing, just to communicate where we are and sort of what's going on there. And particularly, the one thing I'm trying to get fight for, and I think it's a vain fight, but an attempt to get them to take the shackles off of people at BYU so they can participate, because I just feel that's just wrong. Anyway, I think the bottom line is, the sense I get is that there are, among those who are general authorities of the church, there are a few who are quite sympathetic to what we're trying to do, in the sense that they have said, yes, I take it, I read it, I appreciate what you're trying to do, and then they may make some critical comment about an article, which is wonderful. I'm glad they read enough to be able to do that. But I think they're a real minority, and I don't feel that we're ready to get the 70s to rise up and defend us. I think there are just a few there, but they have done. Some of them have taken steps where there might have been church action taken against people involved in Sunstone, and they've quashed it. They've been brought to their attention. And one person who had done that said, but he said, you know, it depends on who's going to take the action. He said, if it's a stake president, I can deal with that, but if it's a senior member of the Quorum of the Twelve, I can't help you. And so, with that kind of warning. But I also believe that at the present time there will not be any freeing up of people who have a church affiliation being able to participate unless they do it on their own. We do have some people from BYU come and they participate. I think it depends on the area at BYU where they are, but they're certainly far fewer in nature than they were 10 years ago when we used to have a lot more. But I think that's certainly in having talked to a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, where I thought I got a very rigid response about where they are. I don't think there's going to be any different policy other than just sort of benign neglect of us for
in the foreseeable future, as I can tell, even though some might want differently, but I don't think it'll be that way. And until there's a fairly significant change in the top leadership of the church. So that's been my observation about it. And I think that's fine. I don't think we expect an awful lot. I would certainly wish we could get some people from farms and from BYU to come up and carry Moroni's, you know, banner along and defend the conservative position. It's tough to get people to do it. But that's my comment. But thank you for coming today, and we certainly appreciate the support all of you give to us at Sunstone.